We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Next, I'd like to introduce... Throw your hands in the air if
you's a true player. Big Booty is my kryptonite.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Jacob Albrock on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
And rolling into hour number two, Sports Daily. Going to turn towards Kansas City, talk a little Kansas City Chiefs, because as Danny Welniak knows, the world of the NFL is a 365 day of the year proposition. OTAs continuing in Kansas City. Danny, how are you this morning?
So good, Bruce. Thank you so much for having me on your show, welcoming me back to Wichita. Talk a little Chiefs. I am all about it. So life has been good.
Good, good. I'm so happy to hear that. For those of you, Danny, of course, had not your start in television, but certainly that which kind of was very impactful, your time in Wichita, and parlayed that into a marvelous career, one that I would define by the hardest working woman in entertainment. You don't ever see Danny taking even a breath for herself. She is on to... things from one stable to the next. It's pretty remarkable, and I commend you for your work ethic and your insight that you bring from it. So give it to me. What is the big theme of things at OTAs when sometimes really you got to kind of dig for it, even over the course of 3 weeks? What have you been able to dig, and what's a theme coming out of Kansas City during these OTAs, Danny?
I think the biggest theme right now for the Kansas City Chiefs is that revamped offensive line. And a lot of people have been talking about it. I feel like up here in Kansas City, we talk about it ad nauseum, about what it's going to look like and the depth that the Chiefs have not had before. And the lineup here is In Veach We Trust. And so a lot of people around here believe that they had some massive signings this offseason, obviously, with Orlando Brown and Joe Tooney, and I say Kyle Long now in jest, because obviously with the big news today that he hurt his kneecap and probably won't be playing during training camp, and they are hoping that he will be back for the regular season. So that kind of puts a damper on things, but it also opens a lot of possibilities and doors for a lot of the other offensive linemen who are competing. I mean, the Trey Smith, who was just drafted, that gives him another opportunity. We had been talking about up here, what is Laurent Duvernay-Tardif going to do? Is he going to be a starter? Is someone else going to be able to take his spot? But I think with this injury, it looks a lot better that right guard spot is probably going to be his. So the offensive line from a whole, even the draftee of Creed Humphrey, that has been something that Patrick Mahomes has talked about, getting his rhythm with him and the fact that he's a lefty. And apparently it's not that big of a deal to be a left-handed snapper or to snap, you know, be under center with a left-handed center. So that's kind of been interesting. And so really it's the offensive line. And then we've also been following the cornerback position, because obviously with Bashaud Breeland leaving and not re-signing with the Chiefs, then that starts moving some other guys around. And it'll be interesting to see during training camp how that all unfolds.
Danny, what's going on? How are you?
Hi, Jacob. What's going on?
Not much. I don't know where I'm more concerned yet, because they do appear to have a little depth, and you had to plan on Kyle Long potentially hurt because he's played that way for a while and he's getting up there in age. I think I might be more concerned about the secondary in the short term. Breland brought a lot to the table for that defense, and we kind of knew he was going to go. So they've had some, you know, they've had some time and ability to prepare for it. But are they going to be able to replace him? Maybe not through one person, but enough to get enough defensively that they'll need if they want to achieve the ultimate goal, which is of course another Super Bowl.
Right. And I think you hit the nail on the head in that he was a big part of being able to help this secondary get to that point. But I also think that they've been able to have a really good secondary with a very, I don't want to say subpar cornerback group, because they're not. They're really good corners. However, they're not the big names that maybe you would want to go out and pick up and are going to be the main focal point of your defense. They've found diamonds in the rough with Charvarius Ward and the fact that, you know, he signed his tender today, so he'll be coming back. Legarius Sneed, who ended up being an NFL top 100 player last year as a rookie, and he was a later round draft pick. We didn't see that coming. I don't know if you did. So he has emerged, and I think those two guys are really big. But the biggest thing I think that Bashad brought to the table was that when you went in those five defensive back sets or the nickel back sets, there were a lot of times that you'd have him out there and he'd be a guy who could go from the outside to the inside, and he was very interchangeable. But now you're going to have to look at guys like Rashad Fenton and Bo Pete Keys, who have had some time out there, even maybe DeAndre Baker, to get that time and be able to be really flexible throughout that nickel set. So I agree with you. Bashad was a big part of it, but I also think that the Chiefs have been able to make this defense very strong at the cornerback position with guys that you didn't really think were going to be able to shine in the first place.
Danny Welniak joining us from Kansas City, or one of our Chiefs insiders. We appreciate her time. We know how busy she is, especially during these OTAs. What do we make of the cryptic remarks of Tyrann Mathieu is this Much Ado About Nothing? Do we put anything into social media and things that are left to our interpretation? Where does he stand right now, do you think, with the Chiefs?
Look, some people can put things out on Twitter and it doesn't really mean anything, but Tyrann is very transparent. And when it comes to social media, he's going to put out exactly what he's feeling. And okay. He mentioned to us during OTAs, right after the tweet that he put out about how he didn't expect to have a long-term extension, that he deletes a lot of tweets. I saw that tweet and knew exactly what he was talking about, because I do think that it goes back to the point that I think the Chiefs realize and know that they can find subpar, decent guys in the secondary to be able to fill those roles. And then he also tweeted recently that he was upset with how things were being handled in the business of football and within the organization when it came to his contract. And so it makes me very sad, because I think Tyrann has brought a lot to this defense, and he helped. I mean, they revamped the whole defense. They brought him in. He's been a leader. He led them to, you know, to win the Super Bowl and then get to another Super Bowl. And I think he is a main contributor and factor. But the biggest problem they have right now is that they've signed guys like Frank Clark and Chris Jones to these massive contracts. And you have to pick and choose at some point, even though we all know that the salary cap is very flexible and that it's kind of an imaginary number for a lot of NFL teams. There is a point and a limit where you just can't be dishing out those kinds of contracts and that kind of money anymore. So I think they've kind of run into that wall on the defense where they can't sign him to a long-term contract, and that's really frustrating him. And it should, because he has done so much for that defense and for that secondary that I personally believe that he deserves a long-term contract here in Kansas City. It doesn't sound like, right now at least, that the Chiefs feel that way as well.
The tweet reads, "If they make me choose, I'm going to choose to take it back to where it all started." That's what
right.
kind of has everybody flinching. And I do think he's a game-changing safety. I think he has changed their defense. And we'll go back in time, and I was sort of on an island when I didn't like the Frank Clark move, because I knew that at the time it was going to tie up a lot of money and cost the draft capital that it cost. And, of course, they won a Super Bowl, and he was a big part of that. But I look at, you know, when I look at the secondary, the Chiefs are, you know, with all that money tied up on the defensive line, and I think we all know Chris Jones is a game changer, the Chiefs are, you know, average, maybe a little below average in the pass rush, and you made Frank Clark one of the highest paid defenders in the league. I don't know that they're getting enough there, and it's going to long-term, I think, again, maybe I'm still on an island, I think it's going to cost them in the long run. And if it costs you a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, like, where are we at with the Chiefs pass rush, and are we getting enough there that some of these other concerns can be alleviated? Because to me, Danny, if you lose these things or potentially do in the secondary, you better have a great pass rush. And right now, the Chiefs don't have a great pass rush.
No, and that's one of the things that has also been a hot topic during OTAs. And we're going to get a chance today to talk to guys like Chris Jones and some more of the players along the defensive line. But one of the things I thought was really interesting that Andy Greed brought up during the first week of OTAs was just how valuable of a pickup Jaron Reed was there at right defensive tackle to kind of complement Chris Jones, which I thought was kind of an odd statement to make because, you know, Chris Jones is supposed to be your superstar, which he is. And like you said, Jacob, he is a game-changing defensive tackle. But if you're talking about how valuable defensive linemen are that you're bringing in that are going to help the pass rush, well, then why are you paying these other guys so much money to do that as well and signing them to long-term deals when you still feel like you have to fix the defensive line in some form and fashion? So I completely agree with you from that standpoint. Chris Jones is a game changer, but the pass rush is something that they need to improve upon, and they're still trying to fix it, and it shouldn't be something that they have to fix, if that makes sense.
Danny, it's so interesting about the margin for error in the NFL. It is so razor thin, and one little thing here or one big thing, I mean, it can alter a franchise pretty interestingly. A year ago, we were talking about, now granted, you're coming off a Super Bowl win, you're talking about all of these starters coming back, people doing whatever they can do with their contract to remain a part of the team, to remain a part of what the Kansas City Chiefs were trying to do. It results in a second straight Super Bowl, but all of a sudden the wheels come off. And the Chiefs are measured on a different standard than teams around the NFL because they are in the midst of their Super Bowl window. They've already won one. They were in two straight. But now here we are, and it's not like I'm saying chinks in the armor because the favorite in the West is clearly the Kansas City Chiefs. But there is clearly a little bit of a different challenge moving forward with the feeling in the offseason of this team as opposed to last team. Is it just as simple as losing the Super Bowl, or is this just the kind of thing that generally happens with teams?
I think it's a little bit of both. And I think a lot of it has to do with the battle of attrition and the fact that when they revamped the entire defense going into 2019, it was like this team didn't have any holes. You were talking about, wow, this defense is amazing and it's just going to get better because it's not quite clicking on all cylinders just yet. Or this offense is absolutely potent and there's just no holes on the offensive line because it's super strong. And so you went through 2019 knowing that and believing that. And then 2020 comes around, they have that same kind of feeling, that run it back mentality. And then you start seeing kind of what you mentioned, Bruce, in that there's such a small margin for error in the NFL. And the minute that you start losing guys to injury is when your team starts having these holes. And I think the Chiefs saw that because those long runs into the postseason, into the Super Bowl, really wear on teams. And that's why it's so hard to get to back-to-back Super Bowls, let alone back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls, because you're playing three or four more games than every other team in the NFL. And those are three or four more games that are at a completely different level and a completely different type of wear and tear on your body as an NFL athlete. And so I think the Chiefs started to see that a little bit last year, and especially come Super Bowl time when they didn't have the depth on the offensive line. And so you're starting to see these holes. And now going into this season, yes, the expectation is that they want to win the Super Bowl again. And obviously you guys have heard all of the storylines about Patrick Mahomes hoping that they can go 20-0 in this now expanded season, which is going to be yet another different element that you're adding another game to these guys and creating more of that toll on their bodies. What is this team going to look like? Are they going to be able to get through those injury issues? Can they make it back? I mean, there's just so much more uncertainty, I think, going into this year than there have been the last 2 years, that it makes this team kind of feel and look a little bit different. There's less of that we are unbeatable mentality and more of a, okay, let's do whatever we can to fill these holes, to make us strong, to allow Patrick Mahomes to put this team on his back so that we can get to yet another Super Bowl when it's incredibly difficult to do.
Sure.
Danny Welniak joining us. KCTV covers the Chiefs extensively every day, even as a new mom, which I'm so excited about. Danny,
absolutely.
Congratulations publicly here. It's when we look at the offensive side of the ball, it's explosive. We know it should be. Sammy Watkins is out. He was injured a lot. What is in camp, in OTAs so far? What is the wide receiver position looking like? What's the depth chart? What do we see there?
The Sammy Watkins leaving is definitely one of those things that it feels like a hole. Like the Chiefs are looking for some kind of guy to step up and kind of fill that X receiver role. And obviously, Tyreek Hill is going to be your main guy. They're really hoping to see more out of Mecole Hardman. DeMarcus Robinson is expected to step up. See Byron Pringle, the K-State guy, expected to have more snaps, and I mean he showed out really well in the postseason last year. Marcus Kemp is a guy that had a really strong preseason a couple years ago, got injured, is coming back. They're looking at him. I mean, Cornell Powell is someone that's been really hyped up. Their draftee out of Clemson, he's very talented and he's really good. He is very confident in what he can do, and he's a bigger guy, so you're kind of hoping that he can step up and fill that role. But the Chiefs haven't necessarily been great with their receiver draft selections. I mean, J.U. Chesson was one who's no longer there. DeMarcus Robinson, we're still kind of hoping that he, you know, grows into his own, but he's had a couple years to do so. Mecole Hardman is a game changer, and he's great, and he's an awesome receiver, but you just want to hope and see more from him as a more dominant receiver. So I personally, as a former receiver myself, feel like they need to just find that big guy, and I know that there had been rumors and talk of them going out and looking for kind of those bigger name receivers during the offseason and kind of getting turned down or not being able to pay them the amount that they wanted. So that leaves you with yet another hole that kind of needs to be filled, and a position that, in my opinion, is one of the most important positions, because you have the best quarterback in the National Football League with the ability to throw deep balls. And although you have Tyreek Hill, who's the most dominant deep weapon in the NFL, you need more, because he's going to be bracket covered. You have Travis Kelce, yes, but I am a firm believer that you need a little bit more than what they've got right there right now.
Danny, last one from us, and we appreciate your time. You made the comment earlier, in Veach we trust, but I will add to it, in Mahomes you depend, because not only is this guy skilled beyond really any quarterback in the National Football League, but so much more will be asked from him in a leadership position, as if it hasn't been already. Do you see that already starting to happen, that so much is going to be centered around Patrick Mahomes and his ability to lead this, not only offense, but to lead this football team as its primary voice in a time that you've already talked about yourself is a little bit more uncertain than it's been in the last couple of years?
Without question. And I think the Super Bowl 55, kind of was the epitome of how much this team relies on Mahomes. He has the ability to cover up a lot of problems. He has the ability to will this team to wins. He needs good players around him to be able to be successful, but he also has the ability to do a lot of it himself. But if he doesn't have the key components, a good offensive line to protect him, good receivers who are capable of catching the ball and making big plays, or a good defense to just make that one stop, one more stop than the other team, he can do a lot of things, but he can't do all of it. And so even in Super Bowl 55, when he was getting beat up and battered and bruised and his jersey was dirty, he can't win that game for them if he doesn't have the pieces together. So his leadership is so valuable right now. And especially during OTAs, as we go into mandatory mini camp, you got a lot of younger guys, especially on the offensive line, that have to mesh and mold together. And he even told us that he's taking a different kind of leadership role this year, because instead of guys like Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher and like a guy like Mitch Morse at center telling him what to do or being able to read the defenses and call out protections, he's now the one who's having to tell these younger guys like a Creed Humphrey or a Lucas Niang the protections and kind of what he wants out of things. So he's a different kind of leader going into this year because of the young offensive line and a lot of younger guys around him. When he was the young guy coming in just a couple of years ago, now he's taking that next step, and his leadership role is definitely evolving, Bruce.
Danny, thank you so much for your time. We'll look forward to doing it again, and just so proud of you. Absolutely marvelous job that you do up there. Thank you so much for taking time to join us.
Absolutely. Wouldn't be here without you and Jacob. So thank you guys very much for all that you've done and how you've impacted me in my career.
You're sweet to say it, but that's the last time you need to, because we've enjoyed it. No question about it. Go on and make Kansas City a better place to be. Thank you, Danny. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
There she goes, Danny Wilniak. Danny's
the best.
Oh, she's just fantastic. Just fantastic. And so glad to see your success, a brand new mom. And yet, just another thing that, you know, she handles flawlessly and, you know, keeps up lugging things around and taking care of covering the Chiefs and all of the stuff that she does. What an intelligent voice for the Kansas City Chiefs and sports in Kansas City in general. We appreciate it. All right. I think there's a few things that we just talked about that we might be able to expound upon a little bit, because I do think, Jacob, this is a off season of more questions than the Chiefs have faced than at any time over the last couple of years. Now, is it a big deal? Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I will maintain the point that we're judging the Chiefs with a different model, with a different standard than a lot of other teams, because this is a team vying for a Super Bowl. What are there? Maybe 5-6 teams in the NFL, 7, I don't know, that can probably be judged on this level. So we'll continue with that here in just a moment. OTD is coming up, courtesy of our friends from Superior Rents, all part of what's on tap today, courtesy of our friends from Side Pockets, home of the daily lunch special at Tyler Crossing out there on Wichita's west side. Back in a moment. Sports Daily continues.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.